Before we pray together, I would like to read a word of God from Romans 5. Whoever has a Bible, let us read from Romans 5 before we pray. Here Paul says, this great man of God, in his time, these precious words, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is this not wonderful? To have peace with God. Beloved, not everyone has it. No, certainly not. But only those have it. As it's expressed here, those who had faith, those who received the certainty from Him, who really received Christ into their lives, they have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continues, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Also this, beloved, is something very wonderful for us. Also we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God and are so glad that we may not only know that those could rejoice, but also we may rejoice. This is something precious. Beloved, if we are in agreement with God, then we also agree with His word. This is it. Let us read on in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, what precious words. I don't know, but I believe this gives us joy and courage to give our Lord glory and thanks. And it does something in our hearts when we read these words, that we can thank our Lord and worship Him. Brothers and sisters, let us continue to read. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, of this we may also testify. When we were yet far from Him, He died for us. He paid already the price. And so we see what love He had for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This happened for us. Yes, how wonderful. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Oh, if nothing helped us yet, but this should help us, that He will save us from the wrath. He saved us from our sins, and He will save us from the wrath. The wrath will come upon all the ungodly, upon all the sinners. It will come. Yes, but His own will be taken away first. This is wonderful. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Here we can only say amen. Yes. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Did we receive the atonement? Amen. Praise and thanks. Let us give glory and worship to him. Let us stand up for it. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, also for this morning hour. We thank you for your precious word, Lord. Faithful God, not only a Paul could feel like this, but also we experienced it, Lord. We have found peace with you and in you. The world can find no peace, but you have given us peace. Peace, Lord, that is anchored deep in our hearts. Whatever may come in our lives, we know you have given us your peace, your joy, everything you have given us by your grace. And we may also rejoice in tribulations which come upon us. We may fully agree with all them who were before us. They have, as we heard it last night, they endured everything. O God, my God, may it be also with us like this. May come what may, Lord. But we want to remain joined with you. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, I ask you, bless your people this morning. Bless us, O Lord. Bless also who could not come. Bless also who are sick. Give grace, Lord. Bless also my brother now. When he opens his mouth, strengthen him, Lord, in spirit, soul, and body. I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
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 Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. How grateful we are that God puts all things in order. They could not be placed in a better way. And what God does is always perfectly done. We have read already two wonderful scriptures. The first from Romans 5. Who can add the slightest thing here or there? Every sentence is so mighty. Every sentence is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every sentence is divine message. And what is expressed therein is just wonderful beyond measure. Everywhere is teaching. Everywhere is comfort. Everywhere is something for everyone, no matter where we open the Holy Scripture. In particular, also that part, that God has not destined us for the wrath, but that we should inherit salvation. When we read here 1 Thessalonians 5, that says, he will save us from the wrath to come. The judgments of wrath are destined for those who missed the time of grace, who didn't accept the grace, who didn't accept reconciliation, who did not have an experience with God. For them the wrath will come. For us the grace has come. I probably said it here last Wednesday evening. The Holy Scripture testifies to it. The law came through Moses. The grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And whoever has him has grace and truth. He has forgiveness, has salvation, reconciliation, has eternal life. He who has him has God. The personal God, you all know, there are people who believe in a God who is somewhere. They don't know where he is because the world is spinning. They no longer know where up and down is. After all, the wise men of this world have many problems, but we look up from where our help comes. How grateful we are that we may be naive enough to believe God's word as it is written. And not only to believe, but also to believe that it finds fulfillment in our lives. When Brother Rus said, nothing can be added to this anymore, there I said to myself, this can only be experienced. We are longing, as the people of God, to experience what we read. When Brother Geiler spoke of the unrest, the word came to me from Hebrews. There is a rest for the people of God. And whoever has come to an end with his own works, he has come to a rest in God. And we may truly come to a rest in God. Two or three thoughts are on my heart, which I want to share with us. To it, actually, from the word, from 2 Corinthians 1, already the foundation was laid, namely, in this testimony here, for all the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. He can't do it without us, by us. Whatever God promised to the church must and will take place in the church. Whatever he promised to the people of Israel will take place with and through Israel. Whatever he promised to the bride will happen in the bride. And for all the promises of God, no matter what area and whom they concern, is in Jesus Christ our Lord, the yes, and in him already the amen was given. And I read it to you, he is the amen. Revelation chapter 3, you all know, in the time in which we live, it is mainly about the revelation. And the thought came to me that we truly were taken into the Holy of Holies. We don't guess anymore what is behind the veil. We see that the veil is rent and that the way is free and that we have free access, namely to the throne of God. And we have found grace in the time of need, as written in Hebrews. We are not in the outer court or even in the sanctuary. We are indeed on the ground of the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, we know one thing. There no man spoke, also no high priest, who once in a year entered the Holy of Holies. He only had one task, to offer the blood for himself and for the people. More he didn't need to do. God gave the answer, and he came with the answer into the sanctuary and brought it to them who waited for the divine answer. I think we can say with all certainty, God has, in these days, by revelation, in the Holy of Holies, he directly spoke to us. We didn't hear the words of men, but the words of God. We didn't hear explanations, but the words of revelation. I would like to read this word and then briefly set forth what I have to say in connection with revelation by God's help. I read now Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We all know this text. I would like to say briefly the following. Because we live in a time where not only divine revelation is proclaimed, but also human speculations, I would like to say, based upon the word of the Lord, how we, as simple people, can discern this. Many wish to have the gift of discernment. I give you today the key into your hand with God's help to know where and how one discerns and what the standard is at which the things are discerned, namely always at the Word of God. A gift of discernment which bypasses the Word is no gift of the Spirit. Every gift of the Spirit will be in agreement with the Word of God. The following thought touches me, right in view of that also recently these preachings with the seventh seal and the seven thunders are taking their course, and there is nothing on earth that is not being preached, which not also finds listeners and people who just stop and listen to it, and already they are entangled in things from which they hardly can get out again. I would like, because of the Word of God, say two or three things. For instance, if someone wants to know what God had to say to the first church age, then he must read the text which is available in the Holy Scripture from beginning to end. He cannot only read the first verse and then let his fantasy get loose. He must read the whole text, namely from beginning to end, to know what it's all about. This concerns the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh church age alike. When it says, and to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, and to the church at Pergamon write, and to the angel write, and then comes the whole text. And as I just said, if we want to know what was said to the concerned church age, and what message was addressed to the church, we must read the whole text which belongs to it. Can you say amen to it? Now we go one step further. If we want to know what is in the first seal, how many verses do we have to read? Most certainly these verses which deal with the first seal. One cannot just read the introducing verse and then let the fantasy get loose. One has to read on to find out what belongs to it. The first four seals, very clear to all of us, the first stages of the Antichrist who made his beginning, and then the three preceding stages which then come together as one in the fourth and final epoch. Very clear about this, no one has to ask and no one needs to teach about it. Briefly speaking about the fifth seal, he who wants to know what is in the fifth seal, he must read in Revelation chapter 6 from verse 9 to 11. He must. There's no other way. It is impossible to just read when the Lamb opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. One can stop nowhere. One has to read to the end to know what belongs to the fifth seal. The same is with Revelation 6 from 12 to 17. If we want to know what is contained in the sixth seal, then we must also read from A to Z to really be informed by God of what it is about in this seal. I really wonder why, especially in reference to the seventh seal, this is not done at all. And I wrote it in the circular letter. It's on my desk. I have no explanation for it, that people who stand in the front, that they read only one verse from the seventh seal, as if nothing more is written. And then they let their fantasy get loose, and really into all directions under heaven. I ask you now, and you can also ask all those who want to tell you something different. I repeat myself. If I want to know what belongs to the first seal, or to the fourth, or to the sixth, then I must read the text which describes it to know what it is about. When I want to know what happens at the seventh seal, then I must read on. It is not permissible to stop at the first verse. I read it, Revelation 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Already here, the fantasy sets in. Oh, how many calculations have been made about this half an hour? How many different times have been set when it has started and when it has to stop? And until today, one was dumber than the other. God does not allow such things. God said everything very clearly. Only the people bring confusion into the clear word of God. Just look, I will read on now, and then we will right away get an insight. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Who are the saints here? This is the first question which we have to ask ourselves. I'm not prepared for it, but probably I will be able to look it up, namely from the prophet Daniel, to show you that at that time it will be the people of Israel which goes through the last tribulation, and they will be mistreated as the saints of the Most High at that time. I read Daniel chapter 7, Daniel 7, verse 26 and 27. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. There's probably still another word, but let me read it to you from Revelation chapter 13, where it also speaks of the saints, which at that time, namely 3.5 years, respectively 42 months, have to go through the great tribulation. In Revelation 13, it says in verse 7 of the Antichrist, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. What I'm concerned with in this context is simply the following. We have to deal seriously with the things and see the limit. God always remains within the limits of his word. It is impossible that he goes beyond his word. I could go here into details, but we'll still come to it. Perhaps at the year's end, our prayers are brought by the mediator, by the advocate, because of the blood, into the presence of God. Here we see the saints from Israel. Here Old Testament symbols are used. There was the golden censer. As I said, I will show you from the Old Testament and also here from Revelation where these things belong. So, when the Lamb opens the seventh seal, then the completion is imminent. Then the last prayers of them who have to go through the tribulation, especially the saints from Israel, are brought before the throne of God, in the censers, brought before God. It is an overwhelming moment. Everything in heaven holds its breath. No one dares to say anything. The bride is already completed at that time. And now the full number from the Jews is added, and the end of the whole epoch is here. And it says here, and when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. I can't help myself here, but in the circular letter I ask, and I say, John saw this and that. I line it out here according to the scripture. And I, of course, went so far that I write, whoever sees something different than that what John saw in connection with the opening and fulfillment of the seventh seal, he sees it false. He sees false. He doesn't see what God has shown. He sees own fantasy. I want to see that, what God showed to John, what he revealed to him. And as we said very clearly, he who wants to know what belongs to the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth seal, he must read the text which belongs to it. He who wants to know what belongs to the seventh seal, he must read the text belonging to it. Amen. There is no other gift of discernment, and there is no other evidence than the evidence of the Holy Word of God. I have said already earlier, we have been really brought into the Holy of Holies. We all had to take off our shoes because we knew that we step upon holy ground. We were clear that it is not people who say what they have to say before God in the Holy of Holies, but that we have to be silent and God alone has to speak. And whoever has heard God's speaking, receiving it in himself, to him it will be revealed. What, for instance, John has seen, and I say it honestly, when you read the exposition of the seals in the book which is available for us, how nicely one can follow everything. Brother Branham sets forth the first seal, the second, the third, and the fourth in such a divine harmony, and shows us also with the history how everything could be placed. And the fifth, which concerns the Jews which were already murdered and those who will still be murdered, because it's clearly written that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were. Very clear, no question. And he who wants to know the sixth seal finds out it refers already to the day of the Lord, to the wrath of God, which comes upon the earth during the sixth seal. The church is no more on earth at that time. You can read it yourself. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Revelation 6, verse 12. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. How ridiculous would a person make himself look who would stand in a pulpit here or somewhere and say something completely different about the sixth seal than what we read here. Right? But the same applies to the seventh seal. There the people may stand in all the pulpits and say what they like. And the people are enthused. They cheer in great crowds. About what? Because someone is being celebrated? No. The people who let themselves be celebrated, and here fits the American word, hire and fire. They are one day fired. People who among the people of God abuse the good nature and the gullibility of those who want to have more and more of God, to bring false fire on the altar, to present false interpretations to the people in order to keep them in a good mood. In that moment, they are no longer celebrated, but they will be fired, and God will take care of His people. Believe me, as all the details are described in every seal, so certain everything what is written in the seal in question will be fulfilled. The same applies to the seven church ages. The same applies to the seven vials of wrath and on the seven trumpet judgments. The same applies to every area. There is no room for interpretations in the word of prophecy. We have been limited here. If I want to know what the Lord wants to say to the third church age, I have to read the third church age message. If I want to know what He says in the sixth seal and what happens there, then I have to read it. Let me read here a bit from the sixth seal. Maybe from verse 14. Revelation 6, verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Brother Rus has read the wonderful word. He has not only saved us and delivered us from sin and given us forgiveness, He has destined us to be taken away before the wrath of God comes upon this earth. The rich and the mighty men, all the dignitaries, will then only go in one direction, no longer to palaces and royal houses. They will run and cry, you mountains, fall upon us, you hills, cover us. For one catastrophe replaces another. No one knows what will come next, but all know that it will be terrible and that there will be no escape. And therefore the cry, ye mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. At that time, the Lamb will be king. He will judge. He will pronounce the sentence. We have partly explained this in the last brochure. What do I want to say here today? And certainly on behalf of the Lord, namely, that we are to read God's word with reverence and devotion, with holy respect, and say, Lord, we are in Your presence. We are in the Holy of Holies. We look up to You. You speak and You are at work. We want to hear what You say in order to know what You do. Let me emphasize it again. All interpretations about any seal would be just as wrong as any interpretation about the seventh seal. In the fifth seal happens what is written in the fifth. In the sixth happens what is written in the sixth. In the seventh happens what is written in the seventh. There is no other possibility. It is completely and absolutely impossible. You have heard it. When people come with new revelations, they immediately announce judgment, because whoever does not accept their revelation is no longer on the list of heavenly aspirants. Then they immediately presume to say, well, that's the revelation now. Whoever doesn't accept it is just not in, doesn't belong to it, is out. If God wanted to act according to all these people, today one puts the other out, tomorrow the other puts the one in, and so one puts the other out and in as they like. Who has the right to deal with a blood-bought multitude in this way? Our Lord and Savior paid the high price on the cross of Calvary, so that we should not become the puppets of such schemes, but that we should be strengthened and founded in the Word of God and be penetrated by the truth, so that everything else bounces off us. Believe me, thus it is written, and thus it will be. When the seventh seal was opened, John saw seven angels, to whom were given seven trumpets. Is anyone asking of me to see anything other than what John saw when the seventh seal was opened? Tell me. Absolutely not. And anyone who expects or thinks to see something different from what John saw, he sees wrong. And that is an unoffending word to use. Such a person has a false inspiration. Such a person is not inspired by the Spirit of God, in which John was, and was caught up into the day of the Lord, and saw in the Spirit all these things. Such people who see and proclaim otherwise have fallen prey to other spirits. Religious spirits, but not the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God rests on me, as he rested on John, then I see in the seventh seal what he saw in the seventh seal, as I see in the sixth seal what he saw in the sixth, and in the fifth what he saw in the fifth, in the fourth, third, second, first. I see what he saw. Beloved brothers and sisters, the times are becoming more and more serious, the arts of seduction more and more cunning, more and more Word of God is used, more and more quotations. And we have looked at this a few times here. When Satan began to trick people in the Garden of Eden, namely the first human beings, how did he do that? Did he bypass God and God's Word? No. He referred to God and to God's Word, and thus fooled the first human beings with the Word of God. Satan tried the same thing when he brought our Lord into all kinds of trials here on earth. He said, it is written. But our Lord, who was the Word made flesh, he said, Satan, it is also written. And that's what is important. Not just taking one verse and saying, it is written. You have to be able to say, it is also written. And then you can put the enemy to flight, and all his apostles too. You all know, we don't even want to say these things. No one can imagine the pain that is connected with it. But be honest, what do we want? Do we want to engage in religious politics to pass the time? Or do we have the task of proclaiming nothing but the pure truth in this place? And whoever is destined to hear the pure truth, let him come and hear it. To whom it is not enough, God will send him strong delusion if he has not believed the truth. This too is written in 2 Thessalonians 2. To those who have not received the love of the truth, God sends them strong delusion that they have to believe lies. The truth they can believe, the lies they must believe. Then a must comes over them, and they can't help it. Have we all understood the lesson we are going through here today? Have you really all understood it? That it is indeed not permissible anywhere, be it in the seals, in the church age messages, in the trumpet judgments, in the bowels of wrath, wherever it may be, it is simply not permissible to put in even the slightest of one's own ideas. What God wanted to say and reveal, He has said and revealed. No person is allowed to go beyond this revelation that God has given. And when you read that in the circular letter, that I, on the basis of the authority of the Word of God, I declare as null and void any private interpretation, whether it was given about the seventh seal or about the seven thunders, and so forth. I cannot do otherwise. I can only do one thing. Either I have to accept God and God's word, or I have to accept what people say. And I believe that some may think I'm a little foolish, but not so foolish that I would invest my time and my whole life and then still have to be punished in the end because I have not told the people of God the pure truth. Believe me, it is not only the full commitment and all the strength that one puts into the kingdom of God and into the cause of the Lord. It depends on one thing, namely that it is true, that one has not run because others run, has not preached because others preach, but that one goes because one has been sent, that one speaks because God has spoken. That is what matters. I believe we can say that with all our heart. The lesson we must take to heart today, in all simplicity, plainly but touching, as the whole church here and in all places, in all tongues, peoples and nations, is that God has already said all that we need to know in His Word. And that the things that have been revealed are proclaimed. And when after the opening of the seals, the seven thunders utter their voices according to Revelation 10, and then are sealed once more and may not be written down, we are to respect that in holy reverence before the holy God and say, "Thus hast thou willed, and thus hast thou done. Hallowed be thy name." That's how it is right. Of course, there are people for whom it is not enough. You can read the verses in Revelation 8 up to the sixth verse, to know the introduction, and then of course also the trumpet judgments, which at first, again like the seals, do not have all seven following one another, only six each time, just as the first six seals follow one another. And then comes a whole chapter, namely Revelation 7, as an intermediate vision, and only then comes the seventh seal in chapter 8. That's how you can read it in Revelation. Revelation 8 from verse 7, that the first trumpet sounds, and then the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, until the end of chapter 9. I like to repeat myself. Whoever wants to know what happens during the sixth trumpet, read Revelation chapter 9 from verse 13 to 21. Whoever wants to know what happens in the fifth trumpet, read Revelation 9 from 1 to 12. Whoever wants to know everything else, read the verses that belong to it. Then, whoever wants to know all the other things, likewise, read the text that belongs to it. Whoever wants to know what is fulfilled in the seventh seal, read Revelation chapter 8 from verse 1. Read that at that time the mercy seat turns into the judgment seat. When the last prayers have ascended to God and the consummation has come, then the incense bowls, in which until then the prayers of the saints were collected and brought before God on the golden altar, suddenly no more prayers ascend. The last ones were answered. They are offered on the throne there as incense. Then they are empty. Then they are filled with the coals that are on that altar. I read it to you. It is written here, Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it on the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. All this is the connection that the seventh seal is about, and nothing else. All can save all their own ideas and keep them to themselves. They have no place neither in the kingdom of God, nor in the word of God, nor in the church of the Lord. So at the time when the last prayers have come before the throne of God, and you know very well, some think that the time of grace ends completely when the church is taken up. No, it doesn't. Then the grace and salvation pass from the nations to Israel. Only then will God pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication on Israel. The time of grace does not end with the rapture. It ends with the rapture for the nations. And then the grace and salvation will come to Israel. And then the two witnesses will appear. And during that time, the 144,000 are called out and are sealed. And then they are shown on Mount Zion. Don't be angry with me for this. But it really left me speechless. When I was now somewhere in Switzerland at a strange brothers' meeting, and a brochure was laid in my hand that was printed by my friend in Tucson. I also mention it in the circular. Just because Brother Branham said four times, the Lord will gather the 104,000 on Mount Sinai instead of Mount Zion. He said so nicely, I see the Lord on Mount Sinai with the 144,000. Now they have used months to find Mount Sinai in present-day Israel and have found it according to their own information and have published a booklet. Of course, Brother Branham's quotations, one after the other, one after the other. I have to be very restrained on such occasions, lest I become a little different from how I would like to see myself. But this is really going too far. If a Brother Branham says 700 instead of 7,000, then most certainly this is a slip of the tongue. If he says Mount Sinai instead of Mount Zion, then that is a slip of the tongue. We know exactly what the scripture says, don't we? If Brother Branham saw that today, I tell you, his lamb nature would turn a little bit too, and he would take the whip like our Lord and say, "You have made the house of God a house of confusion, a den of robbers," and he would strike. No, God has not given us the spirit of idolatry. God has given us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to discern what is given us of God by His grace. But here is the point. And here you may share with me the same question. And it is, has everything really gone wrong? Have people really lost their orientation? With deep pain in my heart, I say it. Unless God gives a real commission, otherwise we have no right at all to mess around with the Word of God as we please. And this is being done all over the earth. Of course, with quotations of Brother Branham, I can still distinguish so much that I see and recognize. Here he had a slip of the tongue. How many times have I caught myself in the last few years not even quoting Bible scriptures correctly? Yes, do I want to correct God or do I have to correct myself when I had a slip of the tongue? You see what's all about? Namely, to see what John saw here, for example, to hear and to read what was written down according to the scripture. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That is all God wants. Everything in its place. Everything in its time. What is written in connection with the opening of the seventh seal will literally come to pass at that time. The mercy seat will turn into the judgment seat. The fiery coals from the altar will be cast on the earth. And then there will be lightnings and thunderclaps and voices and an earthquake. That is what is written in verse 5. That is what will happen. Here one could say, "Thus saith the Lord." Here one could say, "Thus God says in His word." Here you could give any kind of emphasis in the name of the Lord, because God's word says so. Since when is a human being authority? Authority is God and God's word. Every human being on the whole earth has to bow to this divine authority of the word. Whoever puts himself above the word, you all know what kind of spirit he has. There's only one who exalts himself above that which pertains to God and worship and so forth. Every person, whether he will admit it or not, who exalts himself above God and God's word, has an Antichrist spirit, just as the Antichrist. He exalts himself dressed in white like no other. The others may all wear red and black as they like. White is His alone. Very beautiful. And then 2 Corinthians 11 already says that Satan dresses in white in the guise of an angel of light. But not only he, also his servants do the same. How does it pain me to have to say all these things? I do it because I'm responsible before the living God. Accept it. Accept it as an admonition, as a teaching. And not only that, take it seriously. I'm going to repeat myself now. And then I'm going to ask Brother Rus to perhaps just say something briefly. As certain as God had it said in the church age messages, for each period, what would apply and happen there, so in each seal He had it said and shown and revealed what belonged to that seal. I just have to say amen to that. I want to thank God for not leaving us to arbitrariness, not that everyone thinks they can do whatever they want with us. No, we have taken our stand in the Word of God. We can say, here I stand, I can't help it, God help me. And whoever stands on God's Word, let him stand. God will help him. God will help him. Stand on the Word of God, and God will help you. Others have tested this, and it will come true for us as well. Verse 6 then reads, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Then we read what will happen in the first, in the second, and in all the trumpets. As it is written here, so it will all literally come to pass. God watches over His word to perform it. He doesn't need a man to interpret it. He is His own interpreter. Praise be to His holy name. I just hope that we have understood. We are not in the outer court where everything is going haywire. We are no longer alone in the sanctuary where perhaps instruction is given and the like. We are in the Holy of Holies, where God Himself speaks to us through His Word and through His Spirit. Just be honest, His Spirit has come upon us, and we see exactly what John saw, and we hear what was communicated to him. And we expect in every context what he was allowed to write down by the grace of God. We are here to respect God, to thank Him for the faithful provision He has made. Are you not all overwhelmed that God is so faithful and has so graciously taken care of us? Amen.